New Jersey's got a lot of historic wows. From Victorian beach towns to Revolutionary War battlegrounds. Explore wow after wow at more than 463 historic landmarks. In museums, lighthouses, and over 58 state and national parks. It's one wow after another, you get it. Find your wow at visitnj.org/history. New Jersey, little state, lot of wow.
These books aren't banned. They're here. I see them. You're confusing the language.
We've lived up to the title, Two to Ramble.
While we're talking about Harry Potter, I feel like porn and Harry Potter just makes sense to kind of segue.
Oh, yeah. They're basically the same.
Right.
Welcome everyone to the Tutorial Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today, as you may see, we got a new set. We moved. So this is now my apartment's library.
It's no longer our set.
No longer.
It's Rich made this whole set, and I gotta say, not to give Rich confidence or support, but it looks great. If you're audio only right now, you're missing. I'll just give it a little shot on YouTube because you put some work into this thing.
To be fair, it's a bunch of IKEA bookshelves painted, but
it looks great.
You know
great.
What?
Give yourself some credit. You deserve this win.
I had high aspirations and then had to tear up them, but I am very happy with it so far. And today is a very special episode because not only are we having a guest on, we're also doing a new thing.
What's that?
Where, you know how we normally forget to plug our stuff and wait
time.
Till the end?
Except the Patreon. We always remember to plug the Patreon.
Yeah. This time, I'm actually going to say, go buy our merch. Democracy is Cringe hoodie. Stuff like that. It's fun. Plug in the beginning and then we're done. So we don't forget.
We can now move on.
Now we have Thomas. Thanks for joining us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Thomas, you know your order. It went, let's talk about our set, then our merch, and let's introduce the guest.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Just because we feel a little more comfortable, because we were on Thomas's channel, Thomas Writes. Fantastic having us on. We had an awesome conversation, and we talked about theology, C.S. Lewis, and just you're a Christian coming from a Christian point of view and having us on. We were talking about, and all behind you, people can see a bunch of theology books. Is that right?
That's right, yes. And to be perfectly clear, this is just the library we have here at my workplace. I have not read all of these books. These are more for reference. But yes, my background is in studying theology. I got my Master's of Divinity from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary just back in May. And very excited to be here to talk about how theology and fiction go a lot more hand in hand than I think people give it credit for.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. If people have read the title of this video, a big central topic, and we'll go off topic as we normally do for videos, but to start it off, I was thinking you would be a great person to talk to about the controversy that used to be, maybe a decade ago.
Eons
ago. The battle and war between Christians and Harry Potter. Because I remember as a kid, that was a big deal going on. Christians doing book burnings of Harry Potter, trying to ban it from schools. I know personally, like one of my best friends from elementary school, his mother would not allow him to read Harry Potter. And so it was an interesting point of view. I am curious to ask why that is. Why was Harry Potter such a target? Should it have been? Your thoughts?
Yes. I had a very similar experience to you, Rich. I remember, because I went to a private Christian school when I was a kid, and I remember a lot of parents having a lot of similar concerns. I know it was a big point of controversy, even in my school, just because a lot of people in my class were big Harry Potter fans, and certain people in the administration were a little more iffy on it. As to why Harry Potter in particular, I think it comes down to a couple of things. One, whenever something is incredibly popular and is especially popular with kids, I think people, and especially Christian parents, get more concerned about it because, you know, they may not be familiar with all these like niche different fantasy things, but let's not forget that Harry Potter was, it was the talk of the town. It was the book series that everyone was talking about. Even people who don't normally read, read Harry Potter. And so I think the fact that it was so big made it a certain targeting point. And then, of course, the other one being a lot of people had concerns about the fact that it openly said, you know, Hogwarts School of Wizardry and Witchcraft. And I think it's the use of the word witchcraft in particular that really made people get antsy because the Bible uses the term witchcraft. However, I would argue that if you look at Harry Potter versus what the Bible says on, you know, their definitions of witchcraft, I think there are some pretty big differences there that I'm sure we'll get into. But that's to answer your initial question there.
Well, as a good follow-up, how do Christians, and I know there's several denominations, so I know it's different, but generally, what do Christians view witchcraft as? Or another word for the occult. What is it to Christians?
So generally speaking, I would define the occult as anything that is specifically targeted to oppose Christianity from a spiritual warfare standpoint. Because broadly speaking, the word occult is used a lot in our pop culture, just I think typically to mean like evil things in general. But if you actually look, I forget what the root word of occult means, but the root word of occult, it actually is referring to the opposite of a religion. So to kind of define some terms here, you have let's take Christianity as an example. You've got the mainstay denominations and sects of Christianity. Then you have Christian cults. And now a cult is considered something that takes an element from a religion, but kind of spins it off into its own thing. An occult is a religion that is formed specifically for the purpose of opposing another religion. And so that's what makes Satanism different from all these other things, is it was specifically formed to oppose Christianity versus, you know, to just say, you know, all these other things are satanic. No, satanic specifically is referring to something that was made for the purpose of either ticking off or trying to get under Christian skin.
Now, to take the, you know, to take the evangelical Christian, to take the Bible thumper side, I was reading some articles on the ideas behind Harry Potter and what makes it different from other fantasy things, is that specifically the magic in Harry Potter is stuff that can be referenced today in real life. Of there's, you know, the star sign stuff, the numerology. There's a couple different references of like actual quote unquote witchcraft.
I can quote the person for you as well. Thank you. This is evangelical journalist Richard A. Baines, and this is what he said about Harry Potter, why this is different. So he said, one of the easiest ways to know whether a fantasy book or film has real-world magic in it is just ask a simple question. Can my child find information in a library or bookstore that will enable them to replicate what they're seeing in the film or the book? If you go to the Chronicles of Narnia and the Lord of the Rings, what you see in there, story, magic, and imagination is not real. You can't replicate it. But if you go to something like Harry Potter, you can find references to astrology, clairvoyance, and numerology. It takes seconds to go into a bookstore or library and get books on that and start investigating, researching it, and doing it. So that's what the hard Bible thumper, as you say, is saying, that Harry Potter is different than Lord of the Rings in that way. Mm-hmm. What do you think on all that, Thomas?
Yeah, I think in my cursory research that I did before we jumped on, I saw that same quote, and I'm glad you guys had it referenced specifically. Personally, I think one I should start off by saying, this whole realm falls into the area of personal conviction. You know, Christians especially, unfortunately, can get very riled up about what media you can and cannot consume. But at the end of the day, that really comes down to personal conviction as to whether or not you think that is something that will be beneficial to you or not. And there's actually one Bible verse I wanted to quote for you guys that I think specifically references this question in general.
Great. Let's hear it.
All right. So it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to go ahead and turn there in my copy, and you are welcome to do so if you've got one there.
I don't think I'm quick enough to find it, but
I'll give you a sec. No worries.
All right. If I get to the book of Job, did I go too far?
If you get to the book of Job, you need to go much farther, actually.
I'm at the wisdom of Solomon, the Acts of the Apostles, the letters of Paul.
It's saying something about Eve. Don't do it. Oh, no, she did it.
Yep. So it's going to be right after Ephesians in the New Testament.
Oh, Lord. You know, how about you just read it off?
No problem. We can do I can sing you guys the books of the Bible song I learned when I was in the Awana Club. Not really, but.
I also remember there being a song. I don't remember the word.
All right, let me go ahead and read it for you. So it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things." And so that's the verse that I have typically turned to as a litmus test for whether I should consume a piece of media or not. Is it morally sound? Is there a message there that I can latch on to? And so to draw that back to the original statement, I'm sorry, I forget the author's name, but the guy who was talking about that Harry Potter references real world magic practices. Personally, for me, my personal conviction, I don't think a child can learn how to practice magic from Harry Potter. I think there may be some crossover in terms of the generalities of like astrology and numerology, but if a child points at you and says Avada Kedavra, you are not going to keel over dead. So personally for me, I think the ties are still loose enough to where it doesn't make me uncomfortable. However, I would respect someone and can definitely see that argument for why it would make them uncomfortable.
And I think we are making this video topic when I'm saying Christians versus Harry Potter, this is a very, very small section of Christians who are against Harry Potter. There was a poll done that said, Rich, you have.
I don't think it used to be a lot larger. Nowadays.
Today it's
not. Very small. I think, but at the time, the fractional part like was, hey, like a lot of Christians were kind of going along to get along of it was widely condemned by multiple different churches and the loud people saying, oh, it's evil. It's encouraging the occult. And there's the morality aspect of, hey, it's teaching Harry and teaching kids to, you know, not respect your elders, to find your
own. I saw that one too. I thought that was interesting.
So yeah, there's those things. And then I think the moderates were kind of going like, hey, maybe it's not great for 5-year-olds, but if they're, you know, 12, let them go ahead.
You already know some Christian read this one like, ooh, that's a pretty fun book. I like it. But that's the thing with, was it called the Overton Window as well? When I think since Harry Potter was published, society in general has gotten like Harry Potter's milquetoast compared to things that you could, I think a Christian would be more outraged by other things today. I'm guessing for Thomas, can I fill those words in your mouth? Like there's other things to be concerned about.
Yeah. Other than Harry Potter. A Christian would probably not want to show their 5-year-old The Boys. That's probably not the best TV show for them.
It's not. Generally. It is a fantastic show.
Season one. season one's a fantastic show.
We got to continue right. that, though. But yeah, yeah. But exactly that. Well, there are shows and there's books made for kids and adults, whereas Harry Potter is made for kids, at least book one to, mm-hmm. You know, boys yeah. is just X-rated, R-rated something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you have, I'm guessing here, like Harry Potter's very milquetoast in the whole grand scheme of things. But when we're looking at people who can judge J.K. Rowling or any author, I mean, J.K. Rowling has, we can discuss everything about J.K. Rowling as well in this episode. But going how the author, she's also self-described, not Catholic, Christian, I believe, self-described mm-hmm. Christian. Mm-hmm. And she has, when she was writing Harry Potter, she says she didn't have any witchcraft in mind. But we can also talk about the grander theme here of authors, whatever their faith is, whatever their experiences are, have their own biases when they're writing a story. And mm-hmm. what, like, let's say J.K. Rowling was trying to do witchcraft, and that was her whole conniving scheme to get all these kids and infiltrate and cause evil across the world. But the thing that is always true is authors, you can never really block yourself off from getting through your point of view and your message. Yeah. And so when I can understand why parents, when they're getting their kids to consume media, why you'd be concerned about, oh, you should probably not consume The Boys, which is XR rated. That's for The Boys. That's for an older audience. But then you can go to your kid. Like there has to be certain restrictions you make for your children. Now the step mm-hmm. beyond when it came to Harry Potter and Christians was, well, then do you go to step up of censorship? Do you go the stance up? Do you go the step up of book burnings and all this? It's do you start affecting the grander community or your children? So I'm gonna go three different angles here. And Thomas, which one interests you the most out of all of those that you want to dive into and you just want to just scramble up right now?
I mean, yeah, that's definitely a lot to unpack. I'll start off with the first one, which is talking about how J.K. Rowling identifies as a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's something I think why Harry Potter doesn't bug me is because the inciting incident, spoilers, by the way, but I think everybody already knows this. But the inciting incident for Harry Potter is the fact that Voldemort tries to kill him, and yet it is his mother's love that protects him. And that becomes a major theme throughout the whole series is that love is the most powerful magic. Now, of course, when you say it that way, it can come across as very cheesy. But to me, that message of love conquering evil and that very pure love, not, you know, kind of lovey-dovey, oh, I'm so in love. But no, a mother's love for her child, this very pure, right. innocent thing conquering evil. I mean, to me, that's straight biblical right there. I mean, that's the whole message of Christianity is for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so that same idea of a parent's love being this unimaginably powerful force. Again, I just never got the level of rage and to kind of head to your next thing of with book burning and all of that, it to me, it's one thing if a piece of media is offensive to me, I just don't watch it. I just don't watch it. I don't tell my friends to go watch it. I just move on with my life. I think when you're a Christian and you take this active stance of like, I've got to go make sure to destroy this piece of media because it's offensive to me, I think it just gives the church such a bad look when you take that route. It's like, guys, we live in a free country, and if something is offensive to you, you don't have to engage with it. No one's saying you have to. And if you do like it, feel free to consume it. But this idea that, and you know, we see it, of course, on social media all the time, this idea that if something is offensive to me, it's not enough that I don't watch it. I have to do everything in my power to either tear down the creator, tear down the fan base, tear down the property itself. And I think that's just a very unhelpful attitude of criticism to have, especially in our current landscape.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it has kind of the Barbara Streisand effect of, you know, you start going up in arms about a piece of media, you make it forbidden, like now people are going to pay attention to it. Now, to that point, I actually wanted to touch in a little bit more nuanced of overall book banning and book burning. Like, I think most people disagree with that. I think even most Christians, when they're like, there's like, oh yeah, I don't want to ban it from Barnes and Noble, but what about schools? Because there is that difference of parents going like, hey, I don't want that book. I don't want Harry Potter at my kid's school. I want that removed, or name a book. Pick one. And like, hey, I don't think it's appropriate because, yeah, I banned it in my home, but they go to school.
Right.
And they can pick it up there.
Right. Like, if they start banning Red Rising from schools, I'm joining Satan.
Exactly.
I'm pretty much on his side. I am team. I'm the occult now, right? Did I use the term properly, Thomas? Like,
I'm organizing against.
the title is Red Rising. You could have that as a possible subtle satanic message.
Pierce might be trying to infiltrate children. Oh no. just as an asterisk, hey, zoom in, Nick, zoom on my face. That was a joke.
Not a Satanist.
Not a Satanist. No. Okay. All right. Let's go. Continue on. Yes, that was a very new. I like that nuanced point of book burnings and then what happens when it comes to school.
They're often lumped together. I hear kind of the silly conversations have. People's like, oh, book burning's wrong. I'm like, yeah, agree. And there's like, hey, the school's not a like, oh, this school banned Playboy from their magazine. It's like, they banned a book from the school library, but like, that's not the same thing as like
when people. I would agree,
because I've walked into some bookstores and it bothers me a little bit of seeing the banned book items in the Barnes and Noble, and it's like, these books aren't banned. They're here. I see them. You're confusing the language of book banning.
What they mean is that like a certain area like didn't allow it in a school something like that.
Like, there are books that are appropriate for high schoolers that aren't appropriate for elementary schoolers. Like,
oh, exactly.
I don't particularly know if you should have, you know, even Huckleberry Finn in an elementary school library. Maybe it's like, let them wait. Let them wait till middle school. I don't know. So I see that stuff and it's irksome to me of just be clear. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on that? Especially when tying into Harry Potter, were Christians justified in a way of saying, hey, I don't want Harry Potter at my kid's middle school or elementary school?
Right. I mean, generally, I would say that I'm on the same page as you, where I do think there needs to be a clear definition between the difference of book burning versus, not wanting this in a library. I mean, and at the end of the day, to me, it depends on what it is. Like, with something like Harry Potter, and again, maybe hindsight is 20/20 here, kind of what you were talking about, Austin, where it's like Harry Potter in retrospect is so mild. Compared to all the other kinds of stuff you could be engaging with as a kid.
Try and reading the Harry Potter fanfics now.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I
mean, oh, yeah.
Thomas is laughing because he's read them, I think. Look at that. That's a face of a man who's done some deep dives. That's. But sorry to interrupt your point. You're just saying that there's...
Now zoom on my face. That was a joke. But, going off of what you guys were saying, like, Harry Potter, I think, very mild. It's so inoffensive to me personally. But, let's make a distinction between... Because here's the example I'll go with. I didn't read 1984 until I was in high school. And I think that was a good thing. Because there is some really dark, messed up stuff in there that I think would be too much for a kid. And, I mean, good grief. Let's take a step back for a second. With movies, we still don't let kids go into an R-rated film unless their parents are with them. We still don't let children buy M-rated games unless they have their parents there to approve it. So to have a similar mentality to books, I don't think should be that offensive to people. Now, I'm not saying we need to have something equivalent to the ESRB or the MPAA for books, but this idea that just because you don't like the idea that your kids can read anything and everything, that you're a bad person for that, I would be more concerned of a parent who just kind of lets their kids read or watch whatever and has no issue with whatever they want to consume personally.
Yeah, especially at more younger ages. Like, everyone kind of remembers when they were like five to eight or whatever, where you watch a thing and then for the next week, that's your personality. Like, you just start copying it.
Me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's literally me. Like, I remember when I watched Pirates of the Caribbean as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I was
dun, 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 dun.
I was running around pretending I was Captain Jack Sparrow for like a week. Yep. It was great. I could just imagine if I was watching something else at that time when I was highly impressionable. Can I go darker on that?
So this brings up a whole conversation about pornography, where we are in the internet age beyond books, where we're experimenting in this new world of where there's this unfiltered access. Hey, if kids are at least given access, even if the parent doesn't give access, they're going to find access. You can only restrict so much. But we're in this first kind of generation. No, there's been porn before, but where pornography and looking up on the internet is so easy to do. And not to speak for myself, but Rich, you can join in here. Thomas, share whatever you'd like. Sorry that we're getting more like topical on this.
Totally fine. Yeah. I think it's a real conversation that needs to be had. So go right ahead.
But I must have been like 12 years old when I just first saw something on the internet and then went through this cycle of watching pornography. I've quit since then, but that's after like a decade of watching pornography and the impact that can have on a child's mind. And a very impressionable child. And then it can we can go down the list of what pornography could do to a teenage, a tween's, even an adult's brain. But just while we're talking about Harry Potter, I feel like porn and Harry Potter just makes sense to kind of segue.
Oh, yeah. They're basically the same.
Right. But, Rich, I know you have a lot of thoughts on that, too. But just talking about how it's something that you can't really censor. It's something that will always be there. But I just kind of wanted to pivot into that conversation.
Yeah. I'm on the camp of ban it all. It should. it's a sickness, and it's not good for anybody. And the main thing is I know how much it affects the brain. It's not such an innocent thing. It is like many others. It's an it can be an addiction.
Mm. And it is. Yeah.
Take my side of it out where I'm like, ban it all. Fine. Let's make that a little less extreme. Of course, should really try to actually restrict it from children. Even just try the bare minimum effort. Like, even Europe has different like age verification laws for porn. And so
it's very easy to circumnavigate that.
There's also no constitutional protection for pornography. That's not a thing. Like, it's not like it's a magical protection. Like, that's freedom of speech. No, there's obscenity laws. Like, you could ban it if we wanted to. It's not a...
Do you think it's possible to ban it, though? Like,
it's legally possible.
And no, in practice, like, practically speaking.
Probably not. No.
It's just something that you wish could just be erased.
Though, to be fair, I think you could play both sides of the political aisle in a very interesting way to get the same result.
Probably could.
Oh, no, you could play to the fundamentalist Christian right pretty easily. Like, hey, porn's a sin, evil, ban it. Easy, got it. But then you take on the liberal left, you start going like, hey, this is really sexist. It's men, predominantly men. Women do watch porn too, but like, hey, it's... You're feeding into the male gaze and the sexist view, and it warps men's minds to view women as objects. Ban it. I think you could do. You could argue at both sides.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally with you. I think in a perfect world, you would be able to ban it and just completely erase it. The fact of the matter, though, is that, you know, as a Christian, I believe the human heart is inherently corrupt and will find ways to indulge its desires no matter what laws or whatever bans are in place. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't, you know, that just throw the floodgates open. But a couple notes I wanted to say on that is something that was very shocking to me recently was, I don't know if you saw on X in May or Twitter, whatever. I don't care what you call it, but yeah, on X.
They're never getting rid of the Twitter name.
They're never.
Ironic, it's named X now. After we're talking about porn, like X-rated.
Yes, this is going to tie into what I'm about to say.
I just got to always interrupt. I'm sorry, Thomas, go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. In May, they changed their rules on pornography to where now it is, what they're saying they're going to do is they're going to put it in its own specific, like, 18 plus section on Twitter. So you can only access it if you're verified of that age and if you actively seek it out. But what I found very interesting and to me very tragic about that statement is if you read the policy change, they literally use the words, porn is a legitimate expression of art. And to me, that just flies in the face, of course, of everything I believe in. But I just, again, take Christianity out of it. In general, could you honestly watch porn and say, yeah, that's an illegitimate expression of art? Like, that is trying to be a genuine expression of the human soul. No, its only purpose is to make people aroused. That is literally its only purpose. It has no artistic merit beyond that. And to tie into what you were saying, Rich, about the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court has handled pornography in the past, I mean, that's where that very infamous saying came from, was when, I forget the name of the specific case, but they were talking about obscenity laws, and they were asking the judges, okay, define what obscenity is, define what porn is. And the judge very infamously said, well, you know it when you see it.
I think that was Justice Scalia, was it?
It may have been. It may have been Scalia. But yeah, they just left it at that. The highest court in the nation. Well, you know it when you see it. What kind of definition is that? How are you going to regulate it?
To be fair, honestly, it kind of makes sense to me. Because
it makes sense.
How else do you define it? Like, ultimately, it comes down to intent. Like, you can tell by the intent of, was this so, like the David or name a painting, the Trinity painting, or the painting of Aphrodite in the clamshell thing, like,
right? There, the Venus de Milo, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's nudity with the purpose, he's clearly not trying to titillate the person,
right?
It's supposed to be an expression of the human form or showing the vulnerability. It's trying to do other things. And then there's other stuff where it's like, clearly it's supposed to arouse you. That's the point.
Yeah.
And that's porn. And that's really what it is. And that's how you can tell. Maybe there's stuff that kind of draws the line sometimes, but like, what was that recent movie that you saw that you really liked?
Oh, Poor Things.
Poor Things.
I love that movie.
Did that straddle the line between, like, because it was clear it's a movie that you really liked. Mm. That seems to be that it's more art, but apparently had a lot of nudity.
Tons of nudity.
So was that nudity supposed to be titillating, or is it supposed to show a side, like, show the main character's vulnerability?
Definitely an artistic purpose. But yeah, this whole conversation about, so when we're talking about for kids and for when what parents want to introduce or not to their kids, every parent out there is going to go about it differently. Like, you could talk to your kid and actually prepare them, like, hey, you're probably going to watch porn at some point. Like, have that conversation with them. Maybe that's one way of going about it. Or, because again, having the, I know if you're very strict with your kids and you restrict all access, they can also outburst and then rebel in another way as well.
Sure.
And obviously, if you're a good parent that they also look up to and respect, your kid will more likely also follow what you're going to say as well, if you can lead by example. So there's all sorts of good parenting tips to go about that. When it comes to this conversation about what, if it's good or bad for you, just the whole censorship, are you guys for or against the more, like, when we're talking about book burning and the internet burning in this sense, are you guys for banning the act of something like that, or banning the production of something like that? Or when it comes to the book, please think about this as a book. If we're going to compare books and this as well, are you against somebody writing that book that does the thing you're against, or filming that porn that you're against or against the consumption. What kind of end here in this conversation? Because I think it's a good example to use. That's more hot button to kind of compare of like, oh, and when we're talking about banning for something, is this for everybody? Is this for adults and children? Especially, I want to hear, Thomas, from your Christian point of view on something like that. Something that is definitely very not Christian is porn. And he, us as two agnostics who are very curious about religion, we can also give our insight on something like that too, because we're very weird with our opinions. We don't fit a box. It's we fit a triangle, and it's a really crooked one. So that's
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Triangle of Sadness, if you will.
I love that. Oh, I love that film. Oh, wait, because we talked about it.
We talked about
that's
movie.
Right. Yes. I was like, how did he know that?
I still haven't watched it, but I couldn't help but reference that.
Oh, what a great reference. So, Thomas, what do you think about that? Because I'm talking about the banning for adults, for kids, something with using something as simple as Harry Potter than an extreme of like porn.
Right. Yeah, with something, let's start off with the milder one. Let's start off with Harry Potter. To me, I don't really see a good reason to ban something like Harry Potter, because I also thought of this. If your kids are reading Harry Potter, it means they're not reading Game of Thrones. It means they're not reading, you know, the other stuff that's out there that is very extreme that I would more take issue with. I would be much more comfortable, let's say, if it was my kid. I don't have any kids, but I would be perfectly fine with if my kids are reading Harry Potter all day instead of watching The Boys or Game of Thrones, then I'll be a happy parent. Like, and I think a lot of, and I think a lot of Christians, frankly, need to take a similar stance, because another thing that bugs me personally about the whole, or bugged me about the whole discussion about Harry Potter, was I worry that too many parents are scared to let their kids have some freedom in terms of what they pursue. Now, obviously, I believe that there should be boundaries of like, yeah, I don't want my kids watching something that is sexually explicit or filled with vulgarity when they're very young. But I mean, I do want them to be able to figure out, okay, are they into superheroes? Go for it. Are they into fantasy? Go for it. Are they into sci-fi? Go for it. Because I think that is why, unfortunately, a lot of kids, when they get to be 18 and they move out of their parents' house, they rebel and they get into all this really extreme stuff. It's because they were never allowed to really experiment or discover their own interests when they were younger. And I think if parents, it takes discernment, of course, and every household is different. But I think parents should allow some wiggle room for that realm with Harry Potter. Now, in the adult realm, the realm of porn and stuff like that, I do think there needs to be a hard line there for parents, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, regardless of what the laws may end up being. I do think there needs to be a hard line there for parents, because we just talked about it. It is addictive, and it is designed to be addictive. In fact, the United States alone produces 80% of the world's pornography. And
80%?
80%, us, just on our own, we produce 80% of the world's porn. And frankly, I think that is reflected in just how sex obsessed our society is right now. It's very weird to me that people have yet to draw a correlation between all these increases in sexual crimes and the rampant increase in porn use. Mm. Now, obviously, I don't want to make it into a boogeyman situation where that's the only thing that could cause someone to go down that route. But yeah. I also don't think it's a stretch.
Let the funny guys make that point. Yeah, no, it's exactly it. It's a direct correlation, one to one. It's exactly the same.
But Thomas, on that point with you're making about. Rich, sorry to cut off the point. Yes, it is a one-to-one.
It's a one-to-one correlation.
There's nothing else
that could be a reason.
But it's Yeah, Thomas, with that point of, you know, letting your kids be free and with some books to explore some things so they don't rebel later in life, could you see that argument from someone that's pro-porn as well, going like, oh, let your kid experiment more or in moderation and so that they don't sexually rebel when they're adults or older, using that same similar logic, because then maybe that repression could lead to bad results in the future. What do you think about that argument?
I could definitely see someone making that argument. However, my pushback would be is that, I don't know, we as cultures, I mean, porn as it exists today is a very new thing. People in ancient times, go read the old Greek plays and look at how sexually explicit they are. You know, it's not like this is a new thing that, oh, people are putting sex in their art. That's been with us since the dawn of time.
Welcome to the Greeks.
but this is where I'll be controversial with other people, but because of my Christian worldview, the Bible speaks very clearly on sex being something that is sacred. On being something that should be protected and safeguarded. And it's something that I think parents need to do a better job of talking to their kids about, because our current culture has made it clear we're going to talk about sex 24/7 and we really don't care who hears about it. And so I think parents need to be more proactive in actually talking to their kids about, look, the whole birds and the bees. Here's the changes you're going through. This is what's going on. This is what this means, all of that. And I think being proactive in that helps a lot, because the danger with stuff like porn, of course, is that it is to me the ultimate zenith of objectification, where it just takes the opposite sex and it just completely turns them into a piece of meat and nothing else. And that's not the view of sex that I don't think anyone, Christian or non-Christian, wants their kids to have, that, you know, women are just there for your sake, or that men are just there for your sake. That I don't think anybody wants that that to be the case.
I want to ask Rich on this, and this is the only time I will ever ask you this question.
Oh, no.
What do you think about sex?
I appreciate this will be the only time.
After we stop recording, one more time. But what are your thoughts?
Something similar. I think it's, you know, it's a great thing, but also a very personal thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly great of kind of spreading around of just, I just don't think it's great to have sex with tons of people. It's a very intimate thing that once you share it with everyone, it's no longer special. And when you lose that, the specialty of sex, then I think that's a tragedy when you lose that. And I don't know. That's my personal thought on it. But when we were talking about it, I was thinking about mainly your point on boundaries and children. And I think a big problem that kids used to have, and I guess still have, is where parents will set boundaries and then just not tell them why. A lot of it is, you know, parents avoid the discussion of sex and then, like, don't tell them about the birds and the bees and, hey, look at that, now they rebel. I think a lot of rebellion comes from avoiding where kids just are kept being told no because I said so, versus if the parent actually eventually, like, that's not something you tell the 5-year old, but like when they're a little older, you actually explain the boundaries on why you don't allow things, even if it's annoying for a parent to, like, you know, constantly answer these why, right. why. I think that's very important.
Yeah. And for adults too, like, the adults need to also understand things are bad for them.
Yeah.
When it comes to the porn conversations, like, coming from a non Christian point of view as well, of I just to give personal opinion out there, of adults are going to do what adults are going to do. Porn is going to be filmed. There's no way to ban it. And also, if two people want to, not going to stop you. Go at it. Yeah. But as somebody who, like, as a, if somebody went and watched, so I think everybody listening right now could go, like, they've 99% of people, at least 99% of guys, women do too. It's not just the guy.
Hey, we started ACOTAR, and I know it gets to the point. Like, not the first book. I have heard that, like, book 5 is just straight up porn.
Aww.
It's literary porn. That's all
it
is. Actually,
one of your friends, wasn't it your, one of your friends saw their mom had 50 Shades of Grey?
It was the same friend. Yeah, no. Okay.
What was that story? Bring us into this.
Looping it back to Harry Potter.
Yeah, loop us back.
I'm waiting for this.
My friend from elementary and middle school, and I was talking to him recently. We're catching back up again. But his mother did not allow him to watch Harry Potter. It was banned from him. He was allowed and there was a couple other different books and different shows that he'd come over to my place to watch or read. And something that disillusioned him from Christianity itself, and he became atheist or at least agnostic, talking to him about it, was him at a younger age seeing that, oh, I'm not allowed to read Harry Potter. And then he saw that his mother on her nightstand was 50 Shades of Grey. And then just kind of going, wait, it's not okay to read Harry Potter, yet 50 Shades of Grey is on the table. What is this?
Brian.
And there was just a kind of hypocrisy. And understand, as like, hey, there's some things for adults, there's some things that are okay for children. They're not always the same. But for him, that hypocrisy kind of really disillusioned him from his mother's Christian ideals. And so that started him on a path where I think maybe a lot of Christians, when they, and I think not just Christians, parents, when they give a rule to their children, often it'd probably be a good thing to demonstrate what you actually have. So if you have a no screens at the dinner table rule, well, the parent shouldn't participate. They shouldn't do it either. Same thing with reading or porn or different books. I mean, whatever it may be, you should lead by example.
I don't know if the parents can be like, hey, don't have sex, but then not sleep with their spouse.
That's
different.
I don't know if parents can, like, follow one-to-one exactly.
Not one-to-one, but
that would be a little odd. Like,
to be fair, I think even parents are like, hey, save sex for marriage. That's what they tell their kids.
Sure.
Like, well, there you go. It's like, hey, look at that, kids. Make sure you find yourself a spouse as soon as possible. Yeah. Then you get to have fun like the grown-ups.
Right, exactly.
But then this is the thing, too. Oh, sorry, Thomas. Go ahead.
Oh, it's all good. I just wanted to comment on your story. I think that was that is sadly relevant, I think, for a lot of people when they see their parents not adhering to the rules that they have set for them. And so it disillusions them either from Christianity or just their parents in general. And I think that sets a very clear precedent of like, okay, if you are going to set this rule, explain why. And you yourself hold yourself to that standard of, like, my parents, for example, they don't cuss because they don't believe in that. And so they would generally try to show us movies that didn't have a lot of harsh vulgarity in it because they knew how much we quoted things and they didn't want us to pick up on some of those words. And my parents really made a concerted effort to watch their language. And then to quote on what you were saying about sex and all of that, my grandfather has a very funny saying where he says, there's a reason they put doors on bedrooms. It's because not everyone is meant to see it. It is meant to be for the two people there in that situation. It's not meant for the rest of the world to come peering in all voyeuristic like. And so, yeah, to kind of comment on what you were saying of like, you know, it's often misconstrued with Christianity that Christians are just anti-sex, that they won't even talk about it. But I mean, good grief, read Song of Solomon. The whole thing is a erotic love poem to his bride to be. And it gets into some pretty specific details about what he likes about his soon to be wife. Stuff that would probably shock you was in the Bible, but it's there. And if I'm going to accept the rest of it as God's word, I got to accept that as God's word too.
Man, I did not know this conversation was going to go Harry Potter right to porn.
You brought up the fan fiction earlier, and I think that's what that set us down. It put it in the back of our minds of like, oh, well, this is where this is headed now.
yeah. I do, because we probably won't be talking about this again on an episode. I do want to make clear, like, for adults, I've struggled with porn addiction.
Yeah.
And the getting over it was the hardest thing ever to do. And if you find yourself struggling with that, start to rationalize the bad things about it. It could be your views towards opposite sex. Also, it could just be you could put yourself in depressive cycles of, I'm not good enough to have a real person, so I must seek out this. Think of every practical reason why it could be. You could look from a religious point of view, and Thomas, I'm sure you have a lot to say on this, and go, it's wrong, but it also helps if you can practically go how it's bad for your life and setting you up worse for future relationships or your current relationship you're in. You could have a bad, if you have a partner and what. Anyways, it's different for people. At least my experience is that it was very bad and addictive.
Yes.
For other people, I know there's others out there that do it as an adult, I'm talking to adults here, that use it in moderation and don't have the same issue I had or others do. But I do know, I think that's rarer than the alternative of where it is very addictive and is good to stay off, regardless of, hey, don't ban it from your other adult friends, but just know, maybe spread the word of, here's your experience, and be more comfortable talking about that with people. I know we're on the internet, this will be everybody, but who cares? Just have those conversations.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure porn usage is actually one of the top reasons for divorce in like divorce discussions of like, yeah. I think the number one is money issues, but up there,
that's why we moved out of the house. We had split up houses because of the porn issue.
But porn usage is one of the high reasons for divorce.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it's like number two, but I think it's number three or four.
I didn't know that.
It's definitely up there.
Wow. Yeah. And you think about it practically. It's one of those interesting things of, because it is such a part of the culture that you kind of take it for granted. But think about it, like what it actually is.
Right.
And it's really weird. It's a really weird thing to think about of what is the actual difference? What is the, practically speaking, what's the difference between watching porn and going into the bushes behind a motel and looking into the window of two people having sex?
Is it any different? I would agree with that.
It's not weird.
Not really.
I don't think there's a practical difference. It's funny
because, like,
it's practically the same.
One, there's less social awkwardness because you're not there in person, but practically speaking,
speaking, it's the same. It's weird. Yes.
And yet one is illegal and the other isn't. So isn't that?
Yeah.
Well, I would think it comes down like the two people Philbin consented to it. The other people you're sneaking in on didn't really. But besides the consent portion.
It's also just kind of, it's cuckery. It's a weird thing. It's like, I'm watching. From a guy's brain. It's, hey, look, that pretty woman I find attractive. I'm going to watch another guy have sex with a woman I find attractive. Like, that's real cuck-like behavior.
We're getting into
break,
it today.
You break it down, and it's not great. It's not a great thing. And hey, I struggle with the same thing. Still am. Like, I'm very much against, because I know the kind of grip that it still has on me. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you guys being so vulnerable on that, because I've wrestled with the exact same thing, especially in college. It was a real big struggle, and it's still a temptation because it is just, it is given such easy access nowadays. And one thing I'd like to mention also, the porn industry, if you actually look at the numbers, it makes more money than the NFL and the NBA combined. People don't really talk about that, but it is the single biggest money-making entertainment industry in America is the porn industry. I don't think people realize just how much of a grip it has on our culture and our society, even if it isn't talked about in public spaces usually. And I'm totally with you, Austin, of like, yeah, it's super addictive. And I forget the reference off the top of my head, but there's a verse in the Bible where it says you shouldn't expect to play with fire in your lap and then get shocked when you get burned. And that's exactly the way I view pornography, is like, yeah, maybe there's the one rare exception out there where they can watch it and it doesn't fiddle with them. But 99% of people who hold fire feel a burning sensation happening when they grab hold of it. And I think it's the exact same way of, why take the risk to begin with then, if it is that addictive and it is that destructive for your mental health, for your marriage, for the way you interact with the opposite sex? Why even take that risk then?
Yeah, it's so the long-term application, that's so easy. It's always that temptation. It's my precious, the ring, it's right there. And it's just getting over that very Christian message as well of temptation. And then, and also, to cap on, we can go on from porn as well, but to cap on that Harry Potter conversation, when we kind of talked about this, because when we look at Harry Potter after saying all that, Harry Potter seems so ridiculous to ban. I mean, I don't know about you, but when we think like for children, we're talking about this in the spheres of children.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, I'm using that word ban incorrectly of like, hey, what parents restrict from their kids.
Yeah.
That's the better way of saying it, of what parents restrict from their kids. Up to each parent. You can decide what your kid is going to read or not. And to an extent, there is abuse to a certain point. Like if you literally box your kid in a room and don't let them do anything, obviously there is abuse at a certain point.
You go full Stephen King, then that's never good.
You just force them to read Stephen King novels. Is that what you mean?
That's all it is.
Oh, no. Funny enough, no, I was making a reference to Carrie was what, but then also forcing your kid to only read Stephen King, I think that could also count as abuse as well.
You want to talk about abuse? Carrie the musical. I was in that in high school.
You were?
Yeah. My high school did a production of Carrie the musical.
How'd it go?
About as well as you think.
Ah.
Did they have the whole like blood? Obviously fake blood. They had that in everything?
Oh, yeah.
And you did that in high school?
Oh, my high school is a little weird. they gave the theater department a little bit too long of a leash. We also did Spam a lot.
Spam?
Like, you know, what is the name? I mean, it's Monty Python. Search for the Holy Grail, but it's a musical version.
Oh, cool.
Great. But also, for high school, very much of vulgarity and cussing. There's like, the parents are there and it's like, okay. It's fine. It was actually a lot of fun, but the Carrie one was weird. I'll be honest. That one was a strange one.
And again, that kind of ties back into our broader conversation of like, look, we're not saying that some of these pieces of media you can never touch with a 10-foot pole, but it is kind of weird when you bring kids into the midst of that. You know, it's like, okay, like, yeah, for someone who's 14 watching the movie Carrie or reading the book Carrie, like, good grief, what kind of message are they going to get from that? Like, what? How is that going to really, really screw with their head on their thoughts of what religion is and their thoughts on what high school is like and what the appropriate response to bullying is? Like, we could obviously go down that whole rabbit hole of Stephen King and whatnot. But yeah, I think it's kind of proof of the point of like, yeah, there are some things that you probably shouldn't watch as a kid, and that's okay. That's normal to affirm that.
This seems like a really, it's a very modern problem. It's a modern spin on a very classic problem that all parents have had to deal with of restricting and protecting young children from things that could twist, manipulate their mind of like, hey, I am going to teach my kid these things and I want them to get these lessons. And so I'm going to, you know, hey, that person down the road, weirdo, creep, thinks some strange things. I'm not letting that person talk to my kid. Pretty easy to restrict and protect your kid for some time until they're old enough. With the internet, like, it seems like an impossible task to be able to actually restrict things from kids, especially if you allow them the internet. Like, if you just give your kid a smartphone at a very young age and just let them have that, and then go, oh, no Harry Potter. It's like,
Martha.
It's like you're fixing the sink. You're fixing the leak while turning on the faucet.
Yeah. The internet just has everything and anything. And something I just thought of that I wanted to mention, you know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, children and making sure that children are not exposed to anything they shouldn't be. But to kind of flip it around a little bit, I think we as adults have lost the art of self-discipline. And what I mean is regulating ourselves in terms of recognizing if something is unhealthy for us. Because just to give kind of a funny example of that for me, I've never really been that big into horror. I know I just referenced Carrie, but that was just more of a reference. But I've never been that big into horror because it's always kind of freaked me out and it's always kind of messed with me a little bit. I remember I was watching gameplay footage of the video game Silent Hill 2. And that night I had a nightmare in which Pyramid Head showed up. And I'm like, yeah, nope, never going to play that video game. I'm not going to do that. And I just bring that up to bring as a point, like, look, even as adults, I hate the fact that the term adult has been conflated with the extreme, like porn, the boys, Game of Thrones, all that stuff is adult. It's like, no, being an adult means you have the freedom to consume what you want. Yes. But that doesn't mean you necessarily should consume everything. Definitely. That is out there.
Oh, no, we're getting definition of freedoms. Is freedom to do anything you want, or is freedom the ability to do things that are good for you? I don't know. You get into different ideas of what freedom actually is, because you could take it down the chaos route or, you know, God-given freedom, which God did not give you freedom to cause chaos. God gave you freedom to pursue a good life. And, you know, chaos is a part, but that's not really.
Thomas, we'll see you in the next several episodes.
we've been hitting on so many subjects.
I think the one big takeaway, Thomas, great point at the end there. And Rich, what you were saying was, yeah, as an adult, self-discipline, as you were saying, Thomas, of deciding what is actually good for you and having you could be a slave to an addiction. And when I say addiction, I mean it seriously with it's not easy to, it's not like, oh, done, get over it. It's,
oh yeah.
That's not just being, oh, just be self-disciplined about it. It's not in that sense, but in the sense that, the more you can be in control of your temptations, the better, the more self-disciplined you can be. And to actually know you are free, you are choosing to do this out of your own will, if free will exists, who determines it? Free, we can get into that too. But with your own will, you decide to do something purposefully, the better it will be for you. Because, for example, we talked about porn this whole time, but another thing I know for me was gaming. Like, games can be, in moderation, gaming can be good for kids, can be good for adults. Like, there's all these certain subjects. But then if you know for your personality type, like, I know for me, gaming, I just love games, certain games. I recently played Minecraft again and made it a point to go, I'm getting off at this time, to go, like, can I do it? And I did it.
Right.
And it felt so damn good. It felt so good. And just, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Thomas, I have to emphasize here, he's not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
I believe it's
bad. Minecraft.
His Minecraft addiction is an actual addiction. It's not, I, that's not a joke.
No.
It's,
full stop.
It controls his life if he lets it.
Oh, no. I mean, I have no right to judge because I definitely have video games I get really sucked into. I recently got back into Star Wars The Old Republic MMO game because I really liked that when I was a kid. Yeah, love it. And man, I have had to regulate myself because I've already got that thing in the back of my head of like, I got to complete all 8 origin stories. Well, how long is that going to take? That's going to be over 100 hours easily. I was like, well, yeah, maybe not go that hard into it.
I believe in, I'm very optimistic about humans' moral compass in general, where if take out the psychopaths, take out those people, but at night, when you reflect on your day and you go, do I regret anything from my day? Did I spend too long on this? Did I do too long on that? Usually it's a good barometer to go like, okay, don't repeat that. But then again, then you're confronted with the game and then you fall in the hedonism cycle and you do that and do that and do that, then regret it later. The shame always comes after. In the moment, your mind's always telling you this is good for you and you do it. Yep. But then the more you can kind of toy around with how you actually genuinely feel afterwards, being honest with yourself, not lying and coping, but then you look at the end of the day or end of the week and go, do I like how I spent my week? Do I feel purpose? Well,
I mean, that's the advantage I think Christians really have, is being able to look at their actions and ask themselves, would God be proud of what I'm doing right now? That's a powerful tool to be able to guide yourself to the right path. Really guide yourself, but like God guiding you on the right thing. And it's because it's God, the higher power, that's a lot easier to put your decisions in his hands rather than your own hedonistic mind. So like,
definitely
for the not Christians out there, or you know, the non-religious, I think the alternative that's not as good, you know, it's the off-brand
for us plebs.
The off-brand version of that power is asking, would your future self be proud of what you're doing? And thinking of like the future of like, hey, me 5 years from now, will I look back on this with pride, or not really, not pride? Would I look about, because yeah,
what purpose?
Would I be happy? Would I be happy that I did this now? 5 years from now, that's the discount, you know, great value brand version of what God can do for you.
I 100% agree with that. The happy thing, just to emphasize, like happiness can also be hedonistic. Like, oh, I'm happy that I'm playing game.
But the thing is, more serious, happy, like long term, five years from now.
Yeah, the key is long term happiness, right? Like you look back on it. So it's not like you don't mean the happiness of like, oh, my dopamine's going right now.
Yeah, no, because that goes away moments.
Oh,
but instantly. 5 years from now, you look back going, hey, that thing that I did, that really, look at where that led me today.
I got to say, too, like, go, you know what? This episode has nothing to do with Harry Potter at this point. It's so Rich and I here on this first time with this new set. Thomas, we've somewhat, like, remember we introduced the set, then you, everything like that. So
yes,
we are, like, Rich made this set. It's so cool. And just to reflect on when you look back at your journey and our BookTube journey like that, something that we're genuinely happy with is going, look at something we built. Like, literally, you built that behind us.
That.
Like, built, but then it's technologically.
Awesome. Put together and painted.
That's built.
Put together and painted. I built the last bookshelf that I built. This I put together.
Okay, fair enough.
Still? Yeah. Still,
but then looking at, hey, you could tell with your hobbies or what you spend your free time with. Are you happy that you could keep measuring? Like, oh, did you grow something? One of the things we are happy with that we haven't plugged yet is our Patreon.
Oh, yeah, we haven't bought that yet.
But I genuinely mean this, because something that we do find genuine joy in is we have our book club with our Patreon, and our members there have created a community of their own at this point. We review books every month, but that's just part of it. But it's one of those things that we go like, oh, that's something that we really love that we did. And then we look at other things like the merch that you sold earlier in the video. first thing to capstone it, to remind the people to buy the merch. The
hat, sweatshirt, remember democracy is cringe. There is no
teeter my totter is the go by teeter my totter. But the fact that we have built something like that, it's small. They're small wins, but it's something and we like it and it's neat. And
it's something I'll be happy about 5 years from now.
It is. When this channel's dust.
Yeah.
So Thomas, I kind of wanted to let you end with what is something in your life you were just happy you did in the past. Maybe it's day, year, something like that. And something about your channel, Thomas Writes. Plug your channel, do everything, capstone this conversation about Harry Potter and porn.
Sure. What a conversation. But you know what? We've lived up to the title too, to ramble. So I think it is fully appropriate. In terms of my channel, I would say kind of what I am the most proud of is I did a book review of The Forever War. And if you haven't read it, highly recommend it. One of my absolute favorite military science fiction that is out there. And I had the distinct privilege of interviewing the author, Joe Haldeman, and his wife, Gay Haldeman. And we got into everything from his time serving in the Vietnam War to how that inspired his writing of that book. And that is something that I will always hold on to, is getting to talk with the author of one of my all-time favorite science fiction novels and one that is so influential on the genre. That is an experience I will always hold near and dear to my heart for sure. And I couldn't have done it if I had never started my channel. So I'm very proud of that.
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
Everyone go check out Thomas Writes. Rich, do you want to end us off with anything?
No, just gotta go check out his channel. It's great stuff, great guy. I look forward to seeing more of him.
Thomas, thank you so much for coming on, and we will see you all next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, all.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.